Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, sir, people, you join us that time of the morning on a segment called Straight Talk with Counselor Ahmed Father. Counselor Ahmed Father, busy, busy man, does what he does and he walks the talk. And I can tell you, Haji Mullah, and it's also the Salajis, the Bagats, and also so many products around listening to him. And I'm not forgetting even our Gigi Foy there in Baira is listening to our very own Ahmed Father. Counselor Ahmed Father, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ana nasalan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday morning, Shabbat.
I tell you now, Ahmed, you go to sleep 3 in the morning, right? And you get up again 5 in the morning. 2 hours of sleep, is that enough for you, Ahmed?
Sometimes I have my 4 or 5 hours sleep to Shabbat, but you know, yesterday I was making sure that Liverpool don't win, because otherwise today will be, you know, what a Sunday I should have had, Shabbat.
I tell you, half the Chatsworth and half the Phoenix are very sad this morning. But anyway, Karim Benzema, well done, Benzema for Ballon d'Or. But alhamdulillah, you know, we'll be very sentimental and come to our Mo Salah, Karim Benzema. But, you know, that's all part of life, Ahmed.
Yeah, yesterday, after a very long time, I went to the Royal Show yesterday. I went for about a couple of hours, maybe, and I said, hey, no, I need to go home now. Time is up to go home. But when you saw all the guys from Chatsworth and Phoenix there, Shafat, every single ad was red, Liverpool, I said. Shafat.
Yeah, they reckon half of Chatsworth is Liverpool and the other half is Man United, and the same with the Phoenix. Yeah,
Phoenix
are RSA people. We have fun in this country. And, you know, this on a light note, Mufti was giving a Jummah Bayan at Avondale, and he says even the Kala knows. He just said, hey, 3 goals were scored in 5 minutes, referring to that Real Madrid, comeback and all that. But anyway, moving on, Ahmed, you know, you will be having a crisis in the country. And, you know, there's an article that appeared in the Daily News, and there they have implicated so many of these Tigrani workers that have siphoned millions and millions of rands when it came to the water and sanitation and so forth. Your comments on that, Ahmed?
Shabbat, I said about 2-3 weeks ago, we spoke about it, and we said by the 30th of June, Shamila Batoy have to start bringing in, and you saw they are doing it all over the country at the moment, and they're moving full steam. And I said also, we put a special team together, a special task team. They selected the best of the best in South Africa, all the top cops in the country, from the commercial crime and from the special investigating unit and everything, and they have given it to Shamila Batoy, and she's got till the 30th of June. And she's moving very, very fast. And you'll see, and I said, you'll see how many heads we will be rolling in the next week. You'll see, and next week is going to be a big disaster. People who are going to be dragged in. And you know how they do it, Shafat? If they have to, there's one person in Spingo Beach, one person in Palok, one person in Yolens, one person in Peter Maritzburg. If they do it 11 o'clock, all 4 areas will be go at 11 o'clock one time. There is no ways you'll see there, because when they hit you on those 4 places, they do it at precisely on time, because there's no time for you to pick up the phone and let the next person know, you know what, these guys are here. When they attack you, they take all the phones away. First thing they do is they take all the phones away. All the phones away, and then they show you the search warrant. And they take with the search warrant, they search your whole house, and the seizure unit comes there, everything. They take all the cars, everything, one go, and they've got a special place here in Durban at the moment they have got here. They store everything there. That's how they do it, Shafat. So there is a lot of heads going to roll, and I said, especially in the sanitation and then the water and the DSW, there's more heads going to be rolling in the next week. You'll see a lot of prominent names, Indians, a lot of people been working for the council for 25, 30 years, they're going to be going in and they're going to get bail and maybe get some of them not even going to get bail because that's how serious those matters are.
And, you know, people are talking about Zweli Mkhize. I mean, he's been implicated, you know, the court cases, I don't know when he's going to go to court. But he's, you know, lobbying the royal family. And many say he's gunning to become the next president of the country. I mean, the man that is that siphoned so much of money and was involved in these different types of frauds. How do they have the guts to come up and say, no, I want to become the president of the country? Talk to us, Ahmed.
Shafat, the word you should be using here, how can the person have a conscience in doing all this amal and still coming back and thinking that he want to become the next mayor of the country? Now, these are the things that we have always seen in this thing. The law states that only when you are convicted and you have been convicted in the court of law, then only you cannot stand for any government position. But for now, he was charged. And the matter has not come before the court, and they have got a step aside rule. So, you know, for him as well as the other lady from DSW, she and the ex-mayor of the city, they have to this thing. They have to step aside. That's the rule. So I think that is coming very, very clear shortly.
Now, Abbas, we noticed that all the civic centers have been open for people that were affected by the flood, and also people from Tongaat were being moved out. And one of them that lives in Tongaat, or Lamesi, is Sishle Zikalala, who is the premier. Was he moved out to these civic center, or was he put in a 5-star hotel, Ahmed?
His place apparently was not heavily. They didn't have any problems or anything with his house, so he was not going to any hotels or anything, from my understanding, because he was crisscrossing the city very rapidly, so there was no issues or anything for us. Yes, his place was affected, but they only to mistake he did, which he apologized. He used one of the city tankers to fill his JoJo tanks and all that. So that's it. And that he was reprimanded for that. So that's the only thing I understand and I know about you.
Alhamdulillah, how's your relationship with Zikalala? Are you on talking terms with him, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, I said previously to, you know, with all the ministers, all the MECs, we have to be good with them. You know, you said, we always said, Kadera, you make one donkey, you make him bap, you make him father too, and you carry on. That's the only way, because you with them, you don't, and you know, they change like the weather, Shafat. Today in the morning, they'll tell you everything. Hey, don't worry, Kosan, you got it done, right? Hey, next minute you already started putting things in motion that, you know what, we want to get water at 11 o'clock this afternoon, 11 o'clock this morning. Hey, then we have phoned him. Hey, he said, no, boss, you know what, there's something else cropped up, therefore they couldn't make it. So this is it. You know, there's no direction with ANC at the moment. That's the problem you're facing with.
No, absolutely. As you said, you know, I mean, it costs you nothing to throw them up and say, hey, how's it, boss? Hey, you get very happy. Generally, they call you, hey, how are you, boss? Are you? No, man, I'm not the boss. You're the boss. And they feel so flattered and they get things done quickly. But, you know, Ahmed, already, you know, you have done things in life that, you know, you knew how to handle people. You knew the psychology of the people and you knew how to, you know, get things done, but the right way. You got it done because you had them in your pocket, but not only when the time of need came, but you had them there and you know you kept them going. But I want you to keep that thought in mind now, because we'll be going out to the news desk now, and after the news desk I want you to unfold to us how you have kept the ta'alluq with all these different types of people. You know, when it comes to kafan dafan, people call you Ahmed Parak. You get the job done. When there's electricity problem and there's water problem, people call Ahmed Parak. You get the job done. And many other issues, both, you know, with the Muslim community, with the non-Muslim community, and also you get all these other groups making you vice president and president of the groups because you get things done. But purely to serve not your interest, but the interest of the community. Talk to us how you do this, Ahmed, how you keep people, you know, happy. And when you just pick up the phone, you said, hey, Inkomo, Injromo, do this and that, and Injromo will do it for you. Ahmed?
Shafat, there's only one secret in everything. Number one, you must be very friendly. Number two, you must be, do not be arrogant. You have to treat anyone, whether it's black, white, colored, Indian, whoever it is, you greet him properly. That's how you do things, and you tell them, right, this is your plight. This is the problem that you face with. How can you help me, my brother? So he will tell you, no, this is what he can do for you. This is, he can't do this. You need to go to that department, or you need for this. You have to speak to the manager or the director. And that's, normally they won't give you the director's number, the manager's number. If you speak to him nicely, in no time he'll give you his number. You got for good the director's number, the manager's number, and you talk to them. So most importantly, work with the people on the ground. Don't go, and if you don't get any response from the guy that is in charge of that department, he's on the ground, who is doing the work, don't go over him because you know his boss, and then you phone him and let his boss phone him. Then you're looking for big problem. You have to speak to him, because once you do that, by overriding him and you go to his boss, that's where the problem starts. The guy is not going to do anything for you. Even if he can do it for you, because you have already override him by going to his boss, so he will nail you for it. So what you do is go to him nicely, tell him, Baba Lumzad, calling Kingana, this is a problem. Kinga in Zulu means, I got a problem. How can you help me? He'll tell you, you know what? The body is going to be here. I'm waiting for the NCP number. Then you tell him, okay, fine, NCP number, because you know how the government works. They're centralized in Pietermaritzburg for the whole province. So even if a person passed away in Newcastle, you still have to phone Maritzburg. Even if he's in Zululand, you still have to phone Maritzburg. Even if he's in Durban, you still have to phone Maritzburg. So they will then dispatch from the call center. Then they will phone. So if he's in Maritzburg, they will phone Maritzburg mortuary and say, this is the NCP number to go and pick up the so-and-so body from this hospital and take it to the morgue. This is, even if he's in Durban, that's how it works. So you tell him, oh, you still didn't get an NCP number, boss. So can I help you? He says, hey, you got a contact. He said, I said, yes. So, okay, then you take the, you phone the call center and say, you know what? We're waiting, the NCP has been reported from so-and-so hospital, Shifa Hospital in Durban. We are still waiting for the NCP number. They said, did you get a case number? We said, yes, we got a case number, so-and-so. Inquest docket has been already made. So this is the case number. They say, okay, fine, this is the NCP number. Then you tell him, yeah, boss, there's your NCP number. He will phone call center and say that the call center will give the NCP number to Shifa Hospital. And in no time, the mortuary van will come. Within the next half an hour, you will have the mortuary van picking the body up, taking it to Phoenix Mortuary, and the postmortem will then, you take the family there, get the paperwork done. Once the paperwork is done, the doctor will oblige and he will come to you. That is the way you have to start doing things. You have to talk to the people on the ground. Don't override. Don't think you are a smart ally and go to Islami first, and then you look in. Because, you know, some of these big shots come there. They say, no, I know the big Lani. Why you need to talk to this or that? Or I know. You don't do that. You go to use the proper protocol. Go to that guy on the ground. Who is going to do the work? That's the guy who's going to prepare the body for you. He is going to send his team to go and pick up the body. He is going to put it on the table where he prepare the body, have it ready. When the doctor comes, he'll do the photographing. Everything is ready. So when the doctor comes, he's ready to do the postmortem. So then hour and a half, you got your body. That's how it works, Shafat.
Absolutely brilliant, Ahmed. And you keep the taluk with them, and alhamdulillah, you know, every year you take good care of them. And, you know, the point you made, you know, people generally, most of our people have this ego. You know, no, I know his boss. I mean, I leave this guy alone. He's only a noker. Noker che. But you don't talk like that. And Ahmed, this is a part of your success, because you don't use the term noker che. You said that the noker makes this happen, Ahmed.
Yeah, that noker is the main guy. That is the O that can make things happen for you. If it wasn't for the noker, the Lanis and all only sit in the office. They only call the shots. And 9 out of 10, like it's weekend today, Shafat. That O, last night, he must be nice and nice. He won't even answer your call.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you said it. He must be nice, and we just left it at that. We didn't say anything, people. But Ahmed, it seems like you are so blessed that you even got. Let me look at your diary there. Please, Ahmed. Please, let me look at your diary. Let me check some numbers you got here, right? Okay, I see you got Rupert's number here. You got Oppenheimer's number. Whose number you don't have, Ahmed?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah. You know, only, I was telling my children, when your dad, when he leaves the dunya, then all the people want to come and tell you, hey, you know what? Hey, you know, my dad saved my house. My dad did this for me. Your dad did this for me. You know, your dad, I was having a problem that they couldn't do the post-mortem. Your dad came specially to the mortuary and he sorted that thing out. Alhamdulillah, I buried my wife on that day. Hey, you know, all these things. I tell my boys, hey, I tell them, listen, this is how you got to go. He said, Daddy, you are a Red Cross. For everybody, you just want to leave everything and you'll go. If I tell you to, you know, take your mother for shopping, you say, no, I'm busy. I've got something I have to attend to.
I tell you people, he's a Red Crescent. Forget the Red Cross. This man, he makes it happen here. I'm looking at a question here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat. Please ask Councillor Ahmed Munro Parak why Ready Mix Concrete is dropping off the leftovers in the afternoon under the Sapingo Beach Bridge to patch up the road, and boards are used to hold the concrete instead of erected as scaffoldings. Very unprofessional. Surely the council could have done this, and the filling could have been done in a day. The road is still waterlogged under the bridge, and pumping this concrete is actually going to weaken the concrete. Can Munro comment? Jazakallah, from Hussein of Sapingo Hills. Hey, everyone knows you, Ahmed, and these are all your chummies that are sending in messages. Your response?
Shafaat, firstly, ready-mix concrete, you know, you'll be shocked what I'm going to tell you on air. Ready-mix concrete is owned by a Pakistani company. It's a very close friend of mine. His name is Mohammed Shahid. He's the owner of ready-mix concrete. I do a lot of work with him. If, you know, when it comes to all the masjid, ghusl khanas, and all, wherever they need concrete to be put on, the new Maulana Ibrahim Badat Masjid in Clare Estate, every single concrete, every single pillar that is standing there, the foundation, everything, this man has done it. You know, Shafar, what a nice man, what a nice heart he's got. When it comes to deen work, you just have to phone him and tell him, you know what, I'm doing this for the community. I need this to be done. He will go out. I'm going to speak to him sometime tomorrow. You know, I didn't want to. I got that message yesterday from you. I don't understand if it's left over or the contract has been given to him to do piling there for concrete. I'm not sure, but I can find out. But they're not allowed to even if you went up the hill, and they have to, you know, there's a nozzle there. They have to cover that nozzle because the concrete mustn't drop on. I remember when the trucks used to go up Inner Circuit Road up the hill, and you'd find concrete on the side of the road. You know, we made them come and clean that up. Actually, that's how the law is, especially when you cannot drop anything on a private road or anything like that. But I'm not sure whether if it excess from where he been working on to do, when they're doing piling and everything, where his trucks go out there and goes and deliver, and there is in the tank, there is some concrete left. Maybe they want to drop that off under the bridge. I'm not sure, but they cannot do that. I'll get a proper indication sometime tomorrow. I think in the next week, I will be able to give this brother Hussein a proper update. And because Shahid is a very close buddy of mine, and if I ask him, he will do an investigation and come back to me very, very quickly, Shafa.
Well, he's connected. Ahmed Parak is even connected with our Pakistani brothers, and he knows exactly what business they are doing there. And absolutely brilliant, Ahmed. And, you know, when you talk about the different things going around in our part of the world, and you look at the disaster management and so forth, how is the Itikweni coping with the requests from maybe Umlazi is complaining, Lamesi is complaining, Tongat, different areas. How do you all prioritize? You know, everyone is in disaster mode, and disaster management maybe, you know, is stretched to breaking point. How do you all handle all these situations? Who's the think tank? Who makes the informed decision, Ahmed?
unfortunately, Shafat, I'm in the that committee, which we call the service committee, to assist whenever we have disasters and everything, and community service, which is I'm also involved with them. The thing is this, the Dr. Gumede, who is the head of the committee, and he makes the decision when immediately when the rain came last weekend, that like Friday, and then Friday we were already SMS was sent to us that, you know what, be on a standby, this is the weather forecast, that, and then he said, okay, fine. So then we go on Zoom, and then they say, right, first what we do, the very first thing what we do is, number one, is to take out all the people that are affected in this flood, pull them out and put them into hall and give them shelter. That's priority number one. Number two, then we go and assess how bad is the situation. Number three is then we give electricity and light to businesses. Businesses must be given first priority, especially for light and water, because we, up to today, some of the prospecting area and some of the areas, they've gone about now, it's going to be about 6 weeks from the 12th of April with the first disaster. We still haven't connected some of the electricity because we are waiting for Germany to send us some of the equipment that has to come here. And if you go tonight, if you see the Emirates flight coming at 2 o'clock today, you'll see how many from the container hold there, how many parts are coming for the 80-20 municipality. That's how bad it is. So we give priority first to businesses, and then we go back to the homes where it's affected. We give them electricity and water. But because of this disaster, we brought from all the other provinces assistance to assist on both fronts. In other words, the businesses and the commercial, as well as the residents, the people, so to get them connected quick as possible. But alhamdulillah, we are coping, and things are happening at the moment compared to what it was from the... So the first one was a major disaster. We can't get ourselves out of that yet. And then the second one hit us. So, but we're almost there in getting things done. Tongat, we got a system where we'll be able to assist them as of next week from the above surface piping, where they will be able to get water and all that. So that way we're working towards. And you know, so for things like this, is not accounted for you in your budget or anything. All of a sudden, it just comes and, it's an act of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certain time I'm going to hit, change it in. And nobody knows. There's no time or anything. It just comes. And then you caught unaware, and you have to start mobilizing and put your act together quick as possible. And alhamdulillah, I think we have learned from this disaster. We didn't take heed from the first this thing with the forecast, you know, like how we got caught out in the July unrest. Our SAPS was sleeping, our intelligence was sleeping. It's the same thing what happened to us on the 12th of July, because our weather, you know, this weather, you can be the best of the planner in the world, you can be the best scientist. It is all left to Allah controls the wind, rain, thunder, storm, whatever it is. It is only controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can do whatever you want. So there's, you know, I'm also involved in the climate change, where we have meetings and all, you know, they'll tell us how the weather forecast is changing. But what I've seen with my own eyes, the sea level is rising. You know, I said in my previous interviews on radio and television and all that, it's rising by one meter. In fact, it's rising, it has risen up to 1.5 meters. So that is an alarming sign, because you know what? Every time the level of the sea rises, it's going to come somewhere. It has to release somewhere. So that is a factor that they are looking into at the moment, Shafat.
Looking at a message on the screen, Faisal Noor says, I look forward to the segment, Brother Shafat. All your guests resonate so positively with you. From the way you and Ahmed talk, I gather that you all are Man United fans. Okay, no, I won't. He says, please read this article to Ahmed the Farak. Ahmed, are you a Man United fan too?
100% Shafat.
Hey, he's right. We both Man United fans. Hey, we like Georgie Best and Cantona. But anyway, I'm going to read his article very quickly. I want you to comment. He sent a whole article there, but I'll just read a paragraph for you, Ahmed. It says, residents of Isipingo Transit Camp south of Durban have echoed calls for the Itikweni municipality to make good on a promise it made more than 10 years ago to provide them with permanent housing. Hundreds of families from various informal settlements in and around Durban were relocated to the camp in 2009 for what was supposed to be a few months while new permanent homes were built for them. 13 years on, they're still there. When Tulani Inkonko first moved into the camp with his wife and then teenage daughter, he was excited about the prospect, but their life hasn't got any better. 13 years on, Ahmed, and they're still waiting to be moved. What's your thoughts?
Shafat, you know, that brother is 101% right. Yes, they were promised from that informal settlement to get housing. Then what happened was, you know, when the ANC government don't like the mayor, so they changed the mayor. And then at that time, Sutcliffe was the head of the city's manager. And he had it everything under control. So he had to step down as well. So that's when the problem came in. Kumalo was at that time he was the mayor of the city. And he had it under control. And Chapan, he had a plan. And when Sutcliffe and he went, this whole city fell down. So that's where our problem is. They were promised, because I've seen the blueprint on all these things, you know, over the years, what was supposed to have been done. And if you look at it, you know, a lot of things supposed to have been done, they haven't even taken place at all. You know, they put it in 513 and forgot about it. And this is one of those things. And all those people, they're supposed to have moved them. They're still there from 2009, as the brother said, it's over 13 years now. They're still there. And this is where the city has failed dismally in getting these poor people home. So that is the problem we face with them. In fact, you know what? Now we are working with somebody. They're going to be doing low-cost housing. Now that's another thing that will come before the tender board and everything. So that we will have to see what is earmarked for said. If that is earmarked for that area as well. But with the disaster, I think more priority will be given to the more disaster area than this area where Hussein is talking about.
You know, Ahmed, mashallah, you give the answers that already the people want to hear. And alhamdulillah, you are, you know, very honest about that. Taking you back to the, here in the Isipingo Beach, you know, the informal settlement known as Dakota, after the famous plane crash. But Dakota, who made that decision that, you know, people should be housed there? Because it, in the first place, that area is a swampy area. Your response?
Shafat, you know, that day, you see all these informal, there's, in the city, there's 554 informal settlements. See, for ANC to win the election, they cannot win it in their own black townships and all that. They cannot win it in all the elite areas. You know, you take Westville, Musgrave, Amstlanga, Billito, all they won't win that there because it has been going to be divided between the DA and the other parties and all that. So they only look for their own kind to get votes in for them. So what happens is they created this informal. There was no informal settlement before. Informal thing was it was banned in this country. They won't allow it or anything like that. They created this thing here. This is an easier way of getting votes for them. That's what they have done. If you take the 21 election last year, November 2021 election, Shafak, you know what they did? They took 75 million out of the coffers of the city. And they brought it, they took this money, and how they won, they were giving 600 to 800 rand hampers. They come to one house, and they'll give you a hamper for 800 rand. There's five in that family there. You said, you know what, I'm giving this hamper for you, but the next five houses here, you need to make a plan for us to get the votes. Hey, that fellow will go away for 800 bucks. He got Mahala. Now he's moving with them and going and getting the other vote. They're putting one hamper in between here. They're carrying it and all that. That's how they work, man. Shafak, this is how they just managed to get the 94 seats. And if they didn't take the 75 million, guaranteed, we should be we should have a coalition government here in Tikwini. That's how we got that extra. And the smaller parties with the 14 seats, that's when we're getting bombarded here, Dr. Shabbat.
Well said, Ahmed. Babu says, Assalamu alaikum. I live on the beachfront, Ahmed, and I really must tell you this place is stinking. He says, there's we complaining about drug abuse, rampant copper theft. We talk about extortion of small businesses and high incidents of murder, sexual violence, and robberies. Come and see Ahmed, and the place is like a toilet also. And people just urinate, and they're also doing the other things on the road here. Nothing has been done about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us floods. He cleans it up for us. But I tell you, Ahmed, the law enforcement here in Itikweni is horrendous. Please address that issue. Ahmed, how do you respond to Babu there?
Shafat, first and foremost, the city has got two components of law enforcement. Number one is the SAPS staff. The other component of the law enforcement is the Metro Police. We are in the Metro Police, we're 200,000 people short to make up the numbers. So how are you going to service the city as an entire city with Metro Police? Metro Police is supposed to be working closely with the city, and they can't do it because they don't have the manpower. That is one of the things. Secondly, the people are coming from the outside, you know, all the Unga boys and everything, they come and urinating all over the place and they're selling drugs and things. So we need to clean them up. For us to clean them up, you need manpower. You need manpower, you can't just bring anybody to clean them up or anything. You have to bring the proper law enforcement to lock them up, charge them and get them out of the way of the city and all that. That's the only way it's supposed to be done. Now, if you go to the SEPs don't have manpower and don't have the vehicles. You know, half the vehicles won't be lying in the garages because that thing is, they haven't serviced it over the years or anything. So you go to a station where they're supposed to have five vehicles, that they only got two vehicles. How are you going to service the area which they have been allocated to service with two vehicles? That's where the problem. Sometimes you'll find a body on the road lying there for 2-3 hours because you can't move the body if South African police don't come there and start taking photographs, start coming and opening up a docket there and checking up. And that's the only way it works here. So this is the problem that we are facing. We don't have the proper manpower. And the skillful people in the country are leaving us and they're going away overseas for better, greener pastures and all that. So, you know, even in the top Iraqi, we don't have the right leaders there because the right people who was there, they have left us and gone to Australia, Canada, New Zealand, UK, where they're no more here. So that's even we suffering in the municipality. The top engineers are not here. The top guys are no more there to assist to make the city work for us.
No, Ahmed, recently we had an incident in the Lanesha. The head of the CPF was allegedly involved in those kidnapping and so forth. I mean, I want to know from you, the CPF members that we have, you know, mashallah, there's some brilliant CPF members, that are honest and forthright. But some of the CD characters try and get into the CPF so they can be, you know, spying and giving information to the criminal chommies. How do you react to that, Ahmed? How do we clean that up?
Shafat, today if you got a contact with the station commander of the area, and now you say go to Greenwood Park. Now Greenwood Park got a station commander who you know you well and all that. You form the CPF for the area of Greenwood Park, then he will come and address you and all that, and you look after him there. He will give you the badge, he'll give you the to carry on that you are now, you have been a member of the CPF, and then you get all the information you want. And that's how the things work today, Shafat. And that's where our problem is. You know, the systems are very, very weak everywhere. You get information so quick before you say Jack Rock, before you can even go into the media or a decision is already out in the media. That's how things are working today, Shafat. So, you know, there is a lot of CPF members are very, very honest. They are prepared to do the work for the community. CPF members are put there to assist the community. It's not for their own gains and to make money out of the system.
Well, absolutely. And as you said, they're there to serve, to be selfless, and not to earn a stars and stripes. because it's really, you know, it's a very noble work indeed. I tell you, you are so brilliant this morning as usual, Ahmed. I really enjoy your company, really enjoy how forthright you are, and may Allah bless you and keep you. Your parting words this morning?
Shafat, this week, Tuesday, we will be going through the full budget for the $53.5 billion. Now, it's, you know, I've been studying this thing from yesterday, and I think I should finish it sometime today because there's about 300 pages here. You know, we need to pass this budget. Now, there's a lot of things. They need money. We don't have the money. We were promised $1 billion from the national government for the disaster. It still hasn't come. You know, we're in a catch-22 at the moment. So, you know, we might make dua, like, you know, alhamdulillah, we must say alhamdulillah. You know, Allah has blessed us, especially this city and all over the world, and especially Durban. You know, we, you know, in terms of our constitution, you got the right of religion, right of culture. We got a lot of things that we can do. No city in the world, you know, if you got a big mayat, they will escort you. They will close the road. You know, these are the things that we must make shukr that, you know what, with all said and done, you we're not happy with the ANC government. But when it comes to that one policy, is the right of religion and right of culture, that whoever, when we did this constitution, that time in 1994, that is embossed in that. So today we got a leg to stand, and that's how we got our masajid, we got our masjid, we got our madrasas, ulums, and our cemeteries. All this is because of that two acts in the constitution that is assisting us. And we can do what we want to do, and nowhere else. I've been all over the world to Shafat, some of the countries. And you know what? Even in the old Middle Eastern countries, Islamic countries, what we got here in South Africa, they do not have Shafat.
Absolutely, Ahmed. You have a mashallah blessed day ahead. Keep up the good work. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sir, people, I'm a part of keeping us up to speed. And yes, our chat with him on, straight talk with Councillor Ahmed Parak. Jazakallah to you and you for sending in your questions and your contributions.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.